boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
You know, when you're out there in that world, you don't really know God, and you see good people going to church, so you figure that ain't for you. But you don't know that God changes people when they find out, when they get the revelation. Amen. Praise God. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life, and all the saints and friends. Amen. Pastor, my pastor and producer, Reverend Wright Gerald Overall. Amen. His blessed wife, Sheila, and all the different saints, amen, for running for Christ and Word of Faith and Straight Gate. And there's just so many people coming on and listening. And I thank God for all the young people. That's my motivation for this Training Day series is young people, because I was young once. And I remember the challenges we had being young. When I was young and in the church, I didn't know how to talk to women. It was something as simple as that. And it helped having somebody to guide you, you know, through this life of Christ, you know. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this marvelous opportunity. We thank you for this is a day that you have made. And we can rejoice and be glad in it because we know our destiny in you. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us this far, which proves you keep your word, Lord. We thank you for your word. Amen. It is as solid as the earth beneath our feet. Count on a word we can remember and a word we can rely on to bring to pass those things you have promised. Amen. A writer said, is there anything too hard for God? We know certainly there isn't. Father God, we're asking that you bless each and every soul that is listening today, those that are saved and those that are not saved. This may be their first time, Lord, that you would bless them with the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. Bless us to know Jesus more in a greater way. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened more, to know more what is the hope of your glory, the riches of your great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you, Lord. Lord, we just ask you right now that you bless our tongue to be that of a ready writer, Lord, to write upon the hearts of your people. Amen. That we will hear only from you via the Holy Spirit through these lips of clay. Let your words come forth, your revelation come forth, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm still dealing with the issue of prayer. I know I'm not the only one. I'm sure of that because I listen to some other teachers on prayer, and it's something but then it seems to be such a narrow circle. You know, the point of life is for us to get an understanding of our relationship with God. That's the primary objective. Again, you know, I started this series called Training Day, and it was for the new people. I want to go over the scripture of how my foundation scripture was 1 John 3:2 and Philippians 3:20. You know, because we tend to read scripture and think of it as a cliche because we don't really focus on what it's like to be the God-man. I mean, that's a tremendous person, amen. I have a video on YouTube that will probably help you understand that beginning, and this is part of it too, because the purpose of prayer is to allow us to utilize the power of God. You know, it's not a ritual to do to please God. It's a exercise in faith. You know, I use faith as an acronym: fervent action in trusting Him. You know, when you trust, that means you're willing to, you know, they do this exercise in these men camp where you stand on a picnic table and it's like eight guys behind you and you fold your arms and you fall back into their arms, you know, believing they're going to catch you. And they do. And that's what trust is. You know, it begins at the end of you. It begins where you can't see. But you have a confidence in God's promise, and that's what that is. And that's why it's essential that you read the Word of God. Otherwise, you won't know the promise that you're relying on, you know. Anyway, 1 John 3:2 says, "Dear friends, now we are the sons of God. What we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He," talking about Jesus, "when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as He is pure." And in Philippians 3:20, it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." You see, we're here on a temporary, we're on a life visa, a work visa, I don't know, but we're on a visa. This is not home. Amen. And we eagerly await our Savior from there, which is heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. What is the purpose for that? Why don't He just leave it just like it is? I mean, He could eradicate everything that exists that gives us ill. I mean, He is going to do that eventually. And when He comes back for the millennial reign, everything that does aggravate us because our bodies, without being changed, would be eradicated. So why now do we go through these training? Why do we go through life like this? As if Jesus paid for our salvation, okay, we don't have to earn our salvation. It was given to us. We don't have to earn our righteousness. It was given to us. Why then isn't life perfect? Why isn't this heaven on earth? Why isn't every day a good day? Why are some days good and many of them bad? You know, Job said, a few days is a man's life, but many are afflictions thereof. There's a lot of trouble, full of trouble. Few days and full of trouble. All the way to the end, you know, I was thinking the day earlier, my closest friend. And for me to be, you know, I got some close friends, but the closest ones, they like me. They love the word. They want track minded. They want to know more of God. You know, I put on the wrong glasses. I see them fogging up at the bottom. Amen. But anyway, so and we're dealing with a person, God's characteristics, just three characteristics. If the person you call God isn't omniscient, isn't omnipresent, isn't omnipotent, he's not God. And if you got a color, if your God black, he ain't God. He's a little G, like we all are, you know. If you're stuck on that, then you really don't have a revelation from God, and you need to call out to him because this thing is winding up. We haven't seen the tightness yet, and only the strong in faith gonna survive. The Bible is clear on that. Right now, you know, we've been expecting, and it is happening at this very moment, is a revival. You know, millions of people are yet still getting saved over the internet. You know, but at the same time, I'm seeing Christians, and we know of Christians that are getting amnesia. You know, as we get closer, as things get tighter, there's going to be a great falling away. Why? Well, the reason is because a lot of people are just religious. They do rituals, and all they want to do, well, if I do this, I'm going to die and go to heaven. Well, that ain't just the case. I mean, think about it. A person that knows anything, everything, can do anything, it would seem to me that he would have a reason for going through this process. The process is we have no clue of how much power those changes I just read you, changing our vile body into like his glorious body, would be like. A few of us know because we sought it out. But the vast majority don't even know. They don't even, most Christians said, just do your own poll. People that you know that have been in church a long time and ask them, have they read the whole New Testament? You'll be shocked. You know, I met somebody recently, 35 years as a Christian. And what shocked me is they understand prayer. You know, they know enough scripture to pray the scripture. They know how to pray by the word. And they I understand. You can tell, you know people that have a relationship with God. Praying is something, it's not just a ritual. You can tell a ritualistic prayer from a prayer of faith. And then when they told me they hadn't read the whole New Testament, they're really like, wow. I don't know, maybe some people don't feel like they're worthy or they. It's not an issue of can you understand it. You will. Because I found that whatever God wants you to know, you're going to know. It's just that simple. Whatever he wants you to know, you're going to know. Okay. Now, last week I had began talking about the mouth and the thing. The Bible is so full. I cannot give you everything that the Bible says about the mouth. But I just want you to know, I mean, it's important. I said last time that you notice in the whole Bible, God does not give a warning to teach animals if you got a bark negative. You know, it only warns. It only says Proverbs. It says life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you know, I mean, it's imperative. But why? Because again, your words have constructive power. Your words have constructive power. Amen. You bring things into your life by what you say. And if you don't want, Jesus said, whatsoever you say, believe in your heart and shall not doubt. And it's amazing. He said, you shall have it. One of my commenters said, I have to focus on finishing thoughts. Praise God. I do. Amen. You know, thank you for the help. But you really have to be sensitive. And this comes from not reading and studying the Word. See, some things are locked in the Bible, you know. But everything that you get out of the Bible is going to work. It's going to match the Word. It's not going to be something really way out there. And if you can't use it, then it's just something just ritualistic, then you don't really need it, you know. People stuck with a lot of like people. Ain't nothing in the, you know, they burned incense in the Old Testament. You don't burn incense now with your prayer. You don't light incense and pray. I tell you what you should do, though, and that is praise God. My first prayer of the day and different times of the day, but my first prayer of the day, my first hour of prayer, always began with praise. See, anybody that praises God will let you know that spending 5-10 minutes a day just praising God. I mean, you ain't even got to shout real loud. Just spending that, there's an exchange. Ephesians 5:18 said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. How? By singing psalms, hymns, and making melodies in your heart unto the Lord. There's an exchange that goes on. You sing to God, he's filling you with his Spirit. You sing to God, he's filling you with his intelligence. And that can be used for all purposes. It can be used on your job. It's not just for church. Matter of fact, church is supposed to prepare you to be the best employee there is, not the best churchgoer. You know, it's supposed, you're supposed to be the best. You're supposed to improve the job. You can pray prosperity in your job. If you got enough Christians, y'all begging the employer for a raise, pray that God bless the employer with revelation to grow the company. The company grow. Guess what? Your pay grow. God, and you can get God to tell him to make it known that it was a blessing. See, so that's why I'm going through these rules of prayer. It's not for the church for you to pray. You pray for your church. Ain't no, that's a given. Well, I guess it's a given. It's a given for me. But if you're not praying for your job, and you're just complaining, that's what I'm talking about. See, you can't complain about your boss. There's a problem. Find out who's saved on your job. Find out who's saved and sanctified. See, that's what these rules is. We don't like, see, that's the reason for the rules. But that's how God operates. Because the rules is about submission to God. He wrote them. He didn't just make them up out of, well, I'm sitting on my throne and, what do you think, Michael? You guys should make up some rules. No, listen. God fully recognizes the power. We just beginning to get a glimpse of how much power it is. You know, I know it's almost impossible for you to think that you have as much power as them spaceships they send up into space. Power. See, because you can't get to use it. Why? We've been told this place. Look at what we're doing with the little bit of stuff we got now. Look what we do. We start wars. The one that got the biggest gun think he's going to win the war. Hitler thought that. He had the biggest tanks. He had the big fastest planes. He had the biggest bullets. He had the best armor. He had the best of everything. But he didn't have God on his side. It's that simple. Somewhere in history, I'm going to meet them when I get to heaven, all those them saints somewhere praying every day. Even General George Patton, he was known for that. He wasn't a, quote, deep religious guy, but he depended on God, and he saw the results. That's what made him confident. See, when you pray, you'll get results, and that makes you confident. See, you want your job to be the best job. See, and that's sad that a lot of these companies think they're the best, but you're going to see some changes. Where the saints are praying, those are going to be the companies that grow. It's a company, I don't know the way you add in the world, but over here in America, this is a Christian-owned company called Chick-fil-A, fast food place, okay? They close on Sunday. And I'm watching today, it was a company called Ruby Tuesday. Ruby Tuesday is filing bankruptcy. if you want to go to Chick-fil-A, now mind you, this is just fast food, fast fried food. They got some grilled chicken, praise God. You're going to wait in line. Anywhere between, if you go, you have to go at opening to get through there and park and wait in line to get through there in less than 15 minutes. If you're in a hurry, hurry, they fast food, but I have seen lines as long as a half mile. And this is just drive-through, you know, because of the COVID. And they got people running out, delivering food to your car. I've seen, it's incredible. All because this man decided, you know what, God, I'm going to honor you on the Lord's Day. You know, I'm like that. I got a hot rod and I tinker with cars, but I do not tinker on Sunday. You know, I don't tinker on Sunday. You need to have time where God can just talk to you too. See, and like I say, so the things, one of the key factors that we remember is that you have to control everything you say about everyone. Now, and the reason is, Satan will use your words against you. Angels will use your words for you. Demons will use your words against you. You cannot agree with this. They know the law. They know the law. They're going to do what they're allowed to do. I mean, they ain't friendly. Think about it. Think about this. God let demons exist. When the rebellion first occurred, he could have crushed that rebellion easily. Matter of fact, he just sent a handful of angels and they just threw them out, kicked them out like trash, okay? I don't know how long ago that was. But see, he could have just eliminated them, could have evaporated them. That wouldn't have been no problem. But he knew the God-Man Project was coming. And see, God don't do evil. He can't teach evil. He don't speak evil. So they wind up having a purpose. And that is what they do. They do evil. But at the same time, he has given you access to his power. And the more you mature yourself in the things of him, and that is the more you submit and align with his word, you know, the more he'll let you have access to. You know, we just had a testimony of something I've been saying. This evangelist was at our church speaking. He lives in Louisiana. And he got his folk together, and they prayed. And all them hurricanes, what is it, six of them hit, they did not come near him. See, because he knows. He fully did. See, he's one of the people that I learned this stuff from. His name is Jesse the Planet. You, I want to check him out. And you go to the Word of Faith website, Word of Faith Christian Center. What is it? WOFICC.CC or .org, and pull up the date, whatever the Sunday's date was. I think it was the date of 13th. Might have been the 10th, I think. October 10th, 2020. And because y'all might be seeing this later on or hearing this, and you'll hear his testimony. But, you know, and like I said, I've seen it. When I seen this old lady had did this, just a single lady, no evangelist, no nothing, just a saint of God, living in Tornado Alley, had been taught, you know, she could use the power of God. Stood out on her perch with her hands prayed and declared that took authority over the prince of the power of the air. So, and the whole neighborhood looked like it was hit with a nuclear bomb except for her house. So I'm like, you know what? But the key, this is what happened. With prayer failure, there's a reason. And if there is one, don't listen. Don't feel bad about asking God. You know, he ain't gonna rub it in your face. I told you he wasn't going to get it. Well, he definitely ain't going to accuse you of being weak in the faith. He going to tell you what you're doing wrong. See, sometimes we take things too lightly. We say, particularly talking. We say stuff. We right now, you know, I listen to people in this political avenue. You know, you just can't say anything because the devil or the local demon in your neighborhood. Hey, man, if you want to understand their structure, there is a structure. Okay, I was just sharing with somebody. Corona is a principality. Okay, legion. Is a power, His powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness. There are levels of government in the demonic realm, in the heavenly realm. And so you have to understand that. You have to accept that reality. I mean, look at that. Like I said, that's trillions of separate cells. My hand, I'm videoing at the same time, and I forget y'all can't see me on the radio. Amen. But I'm holding my hand up, and think about that. Look at your hand. It is billions of separate cells that do what, in an instant, do what you say. You close your hand, they close. Oh, they march. They don't hesitate. They don't like, well, why I gotta, you know, I was just open. Why I gotta close? Why you do that? Excuse me. Why you do that? You know, your eye blink. Your whole body, ask a doctor. Ask a scientist. It's comprised of individual cells. They're not linked together with super glue. There's some liquid stuff in them, and in that liquid stuff is the most cells. I mean, you're commanding that. See, we do this stuff, and we're not really. See, now we have science. Technology allows us to really see who we are, what we are. And it's a whole different. When you're talking DNA, you're talking about cellular structure inside of a cellular structure inside of a cellular structure, and now they find it ain't got no end. Well, they could have read the Bible, you know, but, you know, as they say, science is slowly catching up to where God is already being. Okay? So the point is you can, you know, they have a song, say, prayer changes the atmosphere. It does. But again, what will cause it to fail are these rules. Let me find my original list here. Okay. And okay, number one, you can't have anything against anyone. Can't hold nothing. I don't care. Political, physical, you know, you can't dislike people because of the way God, if you don't like somebody because of the color scheme that God chose for their outside personality, then, you know, you're missing it. See, because your job is, when you see that, they call that a target, a prayer target. Because if they don't like you, they don't like God. If you don't like them, you done fell out with God. And everything stops at that point. You know, angels is just standing there. They bringing a blessing, and now all of a sudden, a demon holding his hand up is like, you can't go deliver that now. Why? Because they just see it. That's how it works in the real world, I'm telling you. Okay? You can't practice sin. Can't practice what God calls sin. The government, they got their own thing. Whatever you go, you can go along with the government if you want. But God ain't answering your prayer. Right now, a whole lot of Christians is finding out the government can't answer prayer. They finding that out for sure. Okay? And right now we're on number three is you have to control what you say. Number four, I may get to today, hopefully. It says you have to be obedient in worship with tithes. And you must, number five is you must participate in prayer for others than yourself. Six, you need to be in pursuit of the will of God. And actually number one was, you must be in Christ. You must be in the body of Christ. Otherwise, Satan can stop everything you ask for. See, because I talked a little bit about the covenant of God. There's a lot of teachers on that. My brother, Pastor Gerald, has teaching on that on his website, rfcm.org. You need to understand that. That's an agreement. That's a contract agreement between you and God. Covenant comes through Jesus Christ. That's what that's about. See, these are the things, the reason why, this is why a lot of people think Christianity don't work. This is why they think prayer don't work. Well, we found out there was a reason, you know. Pastors like my pastor and Pastor Gerald, they research the Word of God. And God, when you start getting into it, God started talking to you. He'll stop you like, take a look at that. Examine that. Think of what ponder that. And then he'll bring up a cross-reference for you and show you different events. See, when you bring the word in, God can use that to guide you. See, when you blank on the word, it's hard for him to communicate what's going on in his word when you haven't read it. See, that's why you gotta make at least one journey through. I was amazed that y'all remember the first time I read the Bible. It's like I can remember almost everything. There are events in there that happen. Sometimes I'd be glad. I'm glad they ain't read the Bible. They couldn't handle this. But this is the point. And the reason I know God got me dealing with this is because we got here in America, we got an election. But they ain't going to change nothing. It don't matter. Them dudes is idolaters on both sides of the fence. They're just idolaters, okay? It is. Forgive me for that, Lord, but I'm pointing out a fact here. You know, their motivation is money. They're chasing after a wisp. Something that ain't really nothing. We give it value. You know, they don't even hold it in their pocket. And the most they'll do is go to a restaurant, hand somebody a card, and they get some food, and they go to the store, buy some clothes, and they think them numbers make them something. Well, you know what? You know a guy that had a whole lot of that, like billions, he paid to get his prostate cancer treated. I prayed to get my prostate cancer treated. And I wanted to purposely learn how to utilize the power of God to get it done. I didn't start out with prostate cancer. I started out with the flu. See, that's why I know this works. I know what don't work because I've been there. And I asked God, I'm like, okay, Lord, this is just the flu. Why ain't it gone? See, and there are going to be sometimes there's some details because of your personality that God might demand from you that he don't demand from me and vice versa because of our personality, you know. Some of us haven't mastered patience. Some of us really struggle with patience. For some of us, patience is a cuss word, you know. And me, I'm like almost like cemented. I'm like, God had to push me sometime. I'm like, I can wait. I ain't in no hurry. One is I like to look and see things. Okay, so we had to control what we saying, and one of the things I wanted to recap on, let me see what my recap notes. Don't cancel what you pray for by speaking negatively about who or what you pray for, whether it's directly related to what you prayed for or have no relationship. See, Satan is real slick about that. It's called stealing the word. You would put a prayer out there on the promise of God, based on the word of God, and then he'll, your next door neighbors all of a sudden do something silly, and he'll have you talking about them. Or they just might just have an awry character, you know. They might not bathe. I don't know. They might cuss a lot, whatever. Or but you don't want to get distracted by that because you, as part of the royal priesthood of God, are to pray for them. Everybody that is saved got saved because somebody who was saved prayed for them. All right, if we had our way, this place would be. Look at the world. They trying. If God hadn't put the stop out, or if he hadn't let Satan put the stop out, let me get that correct, because people thinking God put this stuff out there. God don't do evil. Now, he will sit back. He will sit back because he's giving people, he put his word out there, and he's like, okay, read Isaiah chapter 6. You can read the whole book of Isaiah, but look at what he said when he sent Isaiah out there. He said, he spoke, oh y'all gonna clown on me? Well, I just sit here then. Let you get your butt beat. When you get tired of your butt beat, you'll find my throne. See? Anyway, don't cancel it. See, he comes, he blinds you. Be in the store, you just got a new car, and you done went to Walmart, and here come a shopping cart. Lady let the shopping cart put a ding in your car. Now you mad. Then he pump it, especially if their skin tone is different from yours. He really pump it up. All the time you got it on your way, it's your blessing. See, it's your blessing. And Satan is constantly trying, because God is trying to educate you to be consistent in the fruit of the Spirit. That's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Read it, because all of that in Galatians 5:22 is about dealing instantly with negative situations. Love means you're going to deal with a hateful situation. You know, it is what it is. You know, joy, pressing situation. Hey, it is what it is. You got to sing yourself out of depression. I praise myself out of depression every time he tries. I don't let it get to the D. Once I feel depressed, I don't let the D get in there. I start praising God. Amen. All right. If you don't want it, don't say it. Because, see, this is the other thing. Satan will plant suggestions in your mind, you know. He'll plant suggestions in your mind. That's what he does. He can talk. He can't make you do anything, especially if you're a Christian. He cannot possess a Christian. He can oppress a Christian. And Satan, just as a FYI, he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. It's just unfortunate demons don't need cell phones to communicate with each other. But he ain't everywhere, okay? And really, he's the king of the demonic realm, small k, you know. But then he's had 5,000 years to learn man's psychology, which isn't much. If you read the Bible, you will see the same mental activity throughout history that you see now. Nothing different. They had their presidents back then. You know, they were kings. They had presidents back then. Daniel was a president. Do some research in history. Presidents serve under a king, okay? You figure out why D.C. is called the District of Columbia, and Columbia ain't in America. But anyway, that's just an FYI, okay? Anyway, all right, so I just wanted to bring those up and continue, like I say, on this. So now we're going to talk about, this is a good one. You know, when we was drag racing. Oh, well, anyway, it says engage your spirit before you put your mouth in gear. Okay? And make sure, in anger management, they teach them the 10-second rule. Before you respond, let 10 seconds go by before you say something. You know, so that way, because a lot of people wind up in divorce court because of something they said that they really they said it because at the moment, they don't see. If you could see what was going on in the spiritual realm, a lot of things we do, we wouldn't do because we look at them characters. You know, if you could see, you know, like you can see their eyes and you can hear their mouth, hear them egging you on. See, this is the trick. Remember this. This is the trick. They speak first person. They don't make suggestions. Well, you should say. They talk in your head, and you think it's your mind. That's why you have to know the word. You need to know yourself, okay? I mean, there's just some realities. You know, I say a lot of arguments by just, you know, I will hear, thank God for the Holy Ghost. A lot of times I'll be ready to say something, and the Holy Spirit will shut up. Shut up. And I shut up. It ain't about being right. It's about being righteous. See, because again, he's just trying to block. But the point is, he's trying to block your blessing. Okay, and being successful in achieving these things, when God, you may wind up in a situation like somebody I know that have to do bigger things, but you have that same confidence because the God that did it at the small gonna do it at the big. That's what pastors have to do with. You know, a God to tell them. Do something. They're like, well, we're going to do this. It costs $300,000. No, God will say, well, what's wrong with doing a $3 million job? And you got to believe God. See, because again, what is that going to require? You to spend time with him to get it. And there's a term, if you're reading through the Testament and you see that term, afflict your soul, that's fasting. And if you've ever fasted, you would understand what afflicts you because you're fighting with yourself. Making yourself, because it's amazing how your flesh will talk. Uh-huh. You know it. You just leave a restaurant and ate a 3-course meal, and your body talking about, let's go get some ice cream and cake. And, you know, knowing you don't need no 900 calories on top of the 800 you just had, okay? All this stuff works together, see? I'm trying to help you because it's getting ready to get real challenging. You think it's challenging. Some people right now are facing challenges. You got, 32% of Americans 3 to 6 months behind on their house note. And in some cases, you're talking thousands of dollars, and now their pay has been eliminated. And they're trying to, when you got kids, that's pressure. You got family and you got bills and you're trying to get food, that's pressure. This is why if you're paying attention to the news, you're seeing people doing some real ornery stuff. That's because they have lost hope. They don't even care. It's almost like, well, if I go to jail, I know I'm going to have a place to sleep and eat. You know, until they get to jail and find out, man, this is horrible. Trust me. You know, prison food is different, but jail food, they say, leaves a lot to be a desired. Now we're going to talk about an issue, and it's amazing. I just recently heard, okay, I got about, well, anyway, a teaching where back in 2013, and I've heard it, I've been hearing it almost my whole 40 years, you know. First off, tithing is not of the law, okay? Let me give you the simple of it. The simple explanation of it is a return of love to God. That's what it is. I mean, really, that's what it means to God. We're going to go through today and next week how you return your love to God. You know, because I want to read Malachi chapter 3, which to me kills the argument. And the one thing about it, right now in the world, all over the world, the tithers, the ones that tithe, truly tithe, and tithe with their mouth, tithe unto God, love God, give out of love, he ain't gonna let nothing happen to them. He ain't gonna let nothing happen to them. It says, will a man rob God? This is Malachi 3:8. So yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you, God? In tithes and in offerings. You know, you're taking something. This, remember what's going on with this is being witnessed in two realms, on earth and in heaven. So you are under. Now listen, you really got to get this detail. I had a Bible teacher to say, pay attention to detail. Now I'm reading out of NIV. They did a pretty good job on this one. You are under a curse. The whole nation of you. Because of you robbing me. The whole nation of you, because of you robbing me. The whole nation of you, because of you robbing me. That's verse 9. Now, look at the world. People been arguing about it. They've been talking all this stuff, and they've been calling all this, what they call it, a bunch of superstition. Well, now, what's superstitious? Even some churches. You got pastors. Yeah, the tithe that was under the law is no longer required. Listen, Cain killed Abel because Abel tithed, okay? That was long before the law, okay? But you're going to see, we're going to go through the word and see people tithing before. You're going to see things that happened before the law, before that became the law. There's a progression process, okay? The whole of life, as I've been saying, is about us learning to be submissive continually, consistently to God. And it really shows up. When you look at the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, it really shows up under pressure. But then it becomes even more challenging when there's no pressure. Everybody not struggling with paying 10%. They're like, oh, that's all, you know. But then they still, you know, so then what is the case? And then let's look, where do we get to the part of looking at this? Now, look, he just said you are under a curse. Now, this is, I don't want to miss this point. And you go into the original Hebrew language, the Hebrew scholars know, because that's where I learned this from. God is not pronouncing, he is not directly cursing them. He's giving them a revelation that they are under a curse because there's an order of things. If God orders something and you go out of that order, Satan, as a result of Adam's sin, can now cross the line. That's the thing you have to understand. So it don't matter if you choose not to believe in tithing, Satan love it. Because we're going to go through what he gets to do if you don't, okay? So you you're seeing it. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's income and everything stopped. They never, this was, man, I mean, it stopped everything. You ain't never seen churches stopped. Everything has stopped. Last time everything stopped was when it rained and Noah's flood and it rose up in the ark, okay? He said, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, let's look at this. Now, if God says he has to prevent something, that means Satan is going to be doing something. Now, you have to remember, when this was written, they was in the agricultural age, but, and so, you know, it's different for us now because we get paid in money, but it's the same process because of these words. It says, I will prevent pests like the IRS from devouring your crops, and the vines of your field will not cast their fruit before their time, okay, which means that they if it fall off before ahead of time, it's no good for marketing, it's no good for edibility. I just created a new word, thank God. Anyway, says the Lord Almighty. So he wants to stop this because Satan is going to do that. He said, then all the nations will call you blessed. That's God's choice. For yours will be a delightful land. Okay? Now, I also want to read that out of the KJV. So the bottom line is fun. Okay. Oh, I guess I should get the right chapter. It helps. Verse 9, it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord. And if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. Now, it's hard to say that you're blessed right now, and America has an enormous debt. You're talking trillions of dollars. It's only enormous because they consistently work at leaving God process. And the only way he is going to get involved is if they come to an, there has to be some repentance. Okay? This is what went on in Nineveh throughout history. When you read the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you find that the children of Israel, book of Judges, when the king did what was right, there's kings, there were 42 kings, 8 did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But you will notice there's a strong economic difference as far as when the king did what was right versus a king not doing right. And see, I don't see folk doing right, and I'm not going to even waste time on that. But the point I want you to understand, one, even if you don't agree, say love it. Because he's going to, look at what's happening with people. See, you get by, as they say, but you don't get away. Satan loves to let you get along somewhere, but he can't resist. And he doesn't have control over his kingdom. You know, you don't have to have it like that. So your local demon is going to aggravate you. You wind up spending the money on something else. You know, your shoes wear out sooner than they should. Things malfunction in the house. Then car repair costs more than it should. Instead of you paying less, you're paying more. Even when you go to get a car, you end up paying more. You know, there are things God can't do. Now, you talk about the law. It's like gravity. If you don't, then Satan coming after you. He has the right. And if you see, you gotta. That's why you gotta work in. You gotta work in continuity. He's gonna come after you. And Timothy it says that they that live right, those that walk upright, shall suffer persecution. Okay, so you're gonna have trouble anyway, but you want to be able to repel it. And the one way to be able to guarantee that you can repel it is being consistent with God. Now, I want to take a visit into the heavenly realm and see what goes on, because this is the thing. You have to understand, God said you robbed him, and you didn't stick a gun to his head. You really just held back something, but he said you took something from him. You took his glory. Because he won't do, you know, most parents, when they have children that do well, they love about their children. See? And God want to be able to brag. He want to be able to show. He want to be able to let his glory flow in your life. Okay? Now, I just want to run through this because we just going to touch on this today. And I'm not going to say a whole lot on it, even though, but I want to clarify that it isn't about the law, it's about love. And one of the things I would say, if your income challenge, if you challenge income wise, one, I was taught when I first came in the church, when I first came out, and a lot of churches don't, you know, you may agree, pastors may agree, may not agree, but when you first come in the church, remember you came out of the world, and you didn't know this existed. Now, if God let you live when you was in the world, I don't think he going to jump all over you when you immediately don't start tithing. I know some will harass you. I've seen harassment, and this cause, when you lose a soul, when you chase a person back out into the world, that's more deadly than them not paying tithes. See, because God will hold you accountable. So it's a caution there. Now, I was taught, when I first came out, first make a commitment to tithe. Okay? Now, if you can't afford to, if it's going to cause you to be evicted from your home and not feed your kids, God is not an oppressor. I don't care what anybody say. I've been through the process, okay? You make an agreement to reduce your debt. You work with God because he really wants you debt-free, okay? And you begin to reduce your debt. You repented. You then came out of the street. You reduce your debt and believe God for additional income to help reduce your debt and get your situation down to the place where you can tithe. And the Bible talks about a heave offering, which is a tenth of a tenth, okay? So that your offering begins with a tenth along with your tithe. So you get to that place and be consistent. Listen. Don't get caught up in idolatry. And in some cases, there's a lot of stuff. You know, they had these garage sales. Now you can sell stuff on eBay. Okay? God got more avenues to work with now than he's ever had before. But he's always had a way to get it done. And in a shorter time than you think, when you get committed, he'll reduce it. But don't lease paying offering. And be consistent. Be consistent. Don't run up no new debt. don't go out, because that's you know, put the charge card. You shouldn't have more than one, but, you know, I'm not going to run your business. But put that stuff away. Don't add to your debt and start reducing it. The smallest one, work your way up. Take the money that you save from the smallest one, put it on the next one, you know. That started long before Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey just took it to the internet. So that's just a natural process, okay? Get yourself to that place because this is what happened. Now, in Hebrews chapter 7, it's talking about, it's really highlighting what goes on in this realm. And it's talking about an event that happened before. You have to go, I think, to the 14th chapter of 14 and 15 chapter of the book of Genesis. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, Melchizedek was the king of Salem, priest of God, Most High. Now, this is some 500 years before Moses was born. Okay? The law didn't come till Moses was born. Here this guy is one, a king and a priest. Don't that sound familiar? Read Revelation 1:6. A king of Salem, which is now Jerusalem, and the priest of God, the Most High. He met Abraham from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. Okay? And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem, which means king of peace. Reading from the NIV. Without mother or father, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remained the priest forever. Think now how great he was, even that the patriarch, Abraham, gave him a tenth of the plunder. And now the law requires the descendant of Levi, this is Moses' relative, become priest to collect the tenth from the people, Israel, that was after they left Egypt, that is their brothers, even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. You got to study that out. It's deep. Because it's showing you that it ain't about the law. It's telling you about an event that happened before the law, okay, that was connected to after the law, okay? I know that sounds kind of crazy, but like I said before, I didn't get an A in English. This man, talking about Melchizedek, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. Okay? That's another statement in itself. And, okay, and yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. And you got to have authority from God to do that blessing. Okay? And to receive the tenth. Okay? And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. In one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. Okay? Now, I definitely want to read the King James verse, because what that is talking about there in Hebrews 7:8 is talking about Jesus, what he does with your tithes. Verse 7, Hebrews 7:7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there, talking about in heaven, but there he, talking about Jesus, receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. Now think about that. Think that out. You put your money in an envelope and put it in a basket or put it on, but send it by computer, and Jesus receives it. And on earth it goes to the receiver here, okay? But in reality, your heart, your spirit in giving is part of what you have given. And that's what Jesus received. The essence of your spirit is in your money presented to God as an offering, because priests always present an offering before God. And if we don't give, he has nothing to present. That's directly to God. It has no other purpose. See, that glorifies God. That says God is above all in your life. It's God is in above all in your life. See, and it is essential that you get yourself, if you're not in that place, I'm even go so far to say, if you've been crossing God, been neglecting God in that area because you've been debating it anyway, listen, is he not omnipotent? Do he keep his word? Can you trust him at that level? You know, people want to argue so much about tithe. Listen, I'll tell you what, one thing you'll find out with non-tithers, I have never met a non-tither that has a prayer life. I've never met a non-tither that pray for people every day, because you're not going to go before the throne of God every day and be wrong about anything. You may not even intentionally be wrong about something. You may have just misunderstood something, and God will correct you. I know this from experience. This is how you get revelation. God wants you to get the fullest benefit of life. It says he has given us all things to enjoy. See, so I'm reaching the end of this, and I'm just getting started on that. But again, this is an issue that Satan will use to stop you from getting prayer through. And if you got hold, you're gonna see when we come out of this pandemic. Just like with in 2008, there were like some 30,000 churches closed in America alone. While at the same time, I know somebody that was starting churches. See, like I say, God is from right now. If they're not committed to serving God, he ain't committed to, but you know what? He don't have to do nothing. Satan gonna do it, because he gonna stand up and say, listen, no, he don't have a right to that because. So you can, it's not an issue, you can debate it, but look at your life. Look at what's going on. People fighting diseases, they don't have a revelation on how to fight the disease. All that's connected to it. I can't live a life off of medication. You know, all that's connected to it. If something wrong in your life, there's a reason. Proverbs 26:2, I believe it says, the curse for no cause does not come. Come with a reason. Satan came activate the curse over the blessing unless somewhere you are out of alignment with God. And this nation, you know, listen, and I'm gonna close with this. This is a Christian nation. Like it or not, believe it or not. I did not ask. My pastor, I'm gonna tell you, the first time my pastor said that, in my mind, I disagreed. Because I was basing it off of the history. We just had Columbus Day, and I'm like, I call it an Indigenous People Day. Okay, Columbus had some serious issues, all right? But the thing to remember is that God's word is steadfast. It's only going to do what he designed it to do. He said it's going to go out of his mouth and shall not return, shall accomplish that which you've sent it to do, and shall not return to him void. So you want to get in alignment with God, because I don't know how deep that is. I don't know if it'll cause you to be left behind after the rapture, because I heard a pastor say something. So people not looking for the rapture going to get left behind. So I'm wondering, what about people that accused, charged with stealing? It says that. It says that. You want to debate that? I don't want to risk that. And you can find some food to eat. You know? You can listen. But get your thing, get your life in order, because the worst ain't showed up. The worst haven't showed up. But anyway, so we're going to end right there with tithing, but we're just definitely beginning on that, because I wanted to be clear to you what it means to God. We just read that what Jesus does, he hold up what you hold. He hold up the essence of your tithe from your spirit. Amen. Before God, presented before God. He's the only one qualified. The high priest can do that. Okay? But for the new people or a person that may, this may be the first time you've heard a message like this. All of this begins with a relationship, an agreement between you and God that is sealed by the blood of Jesus. Eventually, I'm going to be teaching on the blood of Jesus and what all that means and how that came to pass. But anyway, for the new people, you just may be, you may have never made a commitment to God or never made a commitment to Christ, made a commitment to God through Christ. One of the things to be able to get a prayer answered is that you have to be a person, you have to be qualified. And one of the qualifications is you have to be born again. You have to be washed of the blood. And that can only happen by you inviting Jesus Christ into your heart. So pray this prayer. You don't have to completely understand it right off the bat, but you will eventually. So pray it by faith. Believe in God and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am lost, and I ask you to forgive my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I ask you to come into my heart and to save me right now. And Father God, I thank you for the offer of your son, Jesus, for the life that was and blood that was shed for my behalf, and I believe I receive my salvation in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen." Now get this, too, the bonus that comes with that. Right now, people may remember your past, but God has washed it away from his mind forever. It doesn't matter what you did. Now, that don't stop cause and effect, but you will never have to answer to God for it. And that day is coming real soon. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to the producer, and I'm going to say, see y'all next week. Amen. Praise God.
P.P.P.P.com.
I'm going hard for my God, like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, sipping by to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot of souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Hallow, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. Yeah, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you live it wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably seen me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably seen me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had, that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you, I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you, it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong when it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living the sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living the sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan. But I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He loved me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that pose the teachers or that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing. Growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving. My blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving. I'm living for his purpose. Giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living the sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living the sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who?